then I thought I could sing, so I learned the old Jerry Goff song, I'll See You in the Rapture.
Yeah.
And so I learned that song in D, I'll See You in the Rapture. And I had that thing down. Me and Daddy rehearsed it. It was homecoming on Sunday at this church, and they called little Jeffrey up to sing, man. And Daddy rang down a G, and I didn't play the guitar. I didn't know what key it was. And I went off, if we never meet again. And then I got to the chorus, I'll see you. And it was so bad. And I didn't quit and start over. I said, I'm going to finish this sucker.
Welcome to one of the most listened to music news podcasts in the world, SGNP, with your host, Darren Sutherland. Join us as we talk with industry leaders, artists, and entertainers about their faith, family, and careers. This is information you will not find anywhere else on radio, web, or in a magazine, but only firsthand on SGNP.
SGNP is brought to you by Toccoa Falls College in Toccoa Falls, Georgia. For more information on TFC, call 706-886-7299 or visit them online at tfc.edu. That's tfc.edu. Since 1907, TFC, glorifying God through seeking and developing leaders who will impact the world for Jesus Christ.
Nothing to hold on to. I've been there, I've done that, and I ain't ever going back. I walked through salvation's door, and there's nothing worth returning for. I'll never live that life again. No, I'm never going back. No way. I've been there, I've done that.
And back to another week of Southern Gospel News Podcast. Aaron Sutherland and my co-host Arthur Rice. Arthur's on vacation, and folks know if you heard this last week, and he was on vacation. He's still not on vacation. We're just recording it 2 days in a row, so I'm interrupting Arthur's vacation 2 days in a row to do interviews. And the wife is so nice to let you off the hook, Arthur, to do these interviews. Hopefully, you don't have any honeydews like I do when I get home tonight, you know?
Well, yes. Luckily, don't have a whole lot, so yeah. Good. Just relax.
I got in trouble. You ever get in trouble? We'll talk to Jeff if he ever gets in trouble with Sherry. Do you ever get in trouble?
Yes.
You know,
of course.
You know, I get in trouble. I had heart surgery, okay? And I've lost, 60 pounds. But I get in trouble for sneaking around sometimes and eating things I ain't got no business eating. And here's how silly I am, okay? Instead of just taking a receipt and throwing it in the trash can, I'll put it in my pocket or I'll leave it in the floorboard of the truck or something like that. And a wife will say, oh, you know. You never got in trouble like that, have you?
if you talk to a psychologist, there's an explanation for that. It means you want to be caught.
Gosh, I don't know what it means. Hey, if you want to know more about Southern Gospel News Podcast and you want to find out all about us, check us out on Facebook, Southern Gospel News Podcast. Be one of our 16,500 friends, and every day we're growing. Or you can always check out our website, our Twitter page, our Spotify, anything you want. We're there in social media, and we always love your inputs. Arthur, before we get to Jeff, when are we going to hear about the Hall of Fame? When's that coming up?
The induction committee is actually meeting this week, And that, so that'll go through them, and then we have to go through the process of the board voting. And so probably a couple more weeks, hopefully, Lord willing. So okay. We'll have it.
We'll do a show. You think we can do a show like we did last year?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that on SGNP. Be the first to hear it on SGNP and be a good thing, be a good fun time. And maybe we'll get some of the board folks on here this year. You think Ed could jump on with us? That'd be fun. Some of the folks that people ain't heard from before that are kind of behind the scenes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
not the artist. I mean, we can always get an artist. That's easy. Hey, let's play a Jeff and Sherry Easter song, and maybe we'll play Been There, Done That, because my conversation about getting in trouble about the sausage biscuit. Easy enough?
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Southern Gospel News Podcast.
Hi, I'm Karen Peck Gooch with Karen Peckinney River, and you're listening to the best in gospel music right here on SGNP.
Hey, this is Darren, and I'm here for my buddy Mike Lindell in MyPillow. That's right, MyPillow. I got to tell you a little secret, and this is a true story. The other day I'm laying in a bed, I looked at Mary and I said, I'm going to get me some new pillows today. She said, what do you need with new pillows? You got them. I said, I got one that's decent, and I didn't know which one it was. I mean, I knew which one it was, and I pulled the cover off of it, and it was only my pillow. The rest of them were these ones that we bought from TJ Maxx or Target or Walmart or somewhere that just had worn out their welcome. And you know what, guys? I feel like I needed new pillows. And she said, well, why don't you call My Pillow, because you like the one you got there, and tell them what you're looking for, and they'll help you out. You know what I called, and guess what? They helped me out. They asked me what size I was. They asked me how I slept. Did I sleep on my back or on my side or on my stomach? What felt right? Feathers or, you know, blah, 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 foam. They asked me all these questions. More questions than I ever dreamed about a pillow, and I got my new MyPillow in the mail, and I've slept right. So with this time change, I've got a great MyPillow going. You want that change in your life? It's real simple. 1-800-338-2330. 1-800-338-2330. Use the code word SGNP. That's right, the code word SGNP. And tell them you heard about this special offer. And when you use that code, you'll get a great discount from the folks at MyPillow. I use MyPillow. You should too. 1-800-338-2330. Use the code SGNP. MyPillow, the official pillow and sleep provider of Southern Gospel News Podcast.
I walk through salvation's door, and there's nothing worth returning for. I'll never live that life again. It breaks, but I have found the shelter of the Father's arm to say, where you could offer me this whole wide world and beg me please to stay. But I'll just smile and wave goodbye, and then you'll hear me say, I've been there, I've done that, and I ain't ever going back. I walked through salvation's door. There's nothing worth returning for. I'll never live that life again. No, I'm never going back. No way. I've been there, done that. Been there and done that. And I ain't ever going back. I walk through salvation's door, and there's nothing worth returning for. I'll never live that life again.
Southern Gospel News Podcast. Darren Sutherland and my co-host, SGMA President and lead singer of the Kingdom Heirs, Arthur Rice, and on the line with us from a little bit east of me. I'm in Marietta. Arthur's on vacation in Florida somewhere. We won't give up his location because all the fans are following me. He's so popular. Let's go over to Lincolnton, Georgia, and speak to my buddy Jeff Easter. Jeff, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing really good. Y'all good?
Sir, yeah, man.
We make it. You know, I thought about this today, Jeff, okay?
Yeah.
And this is probably a first for your family in gospel music. But, you know, your daughter was on the show with us probably, what, last summer sometime? And this is the first time that you've probably followed her, because she was on this show with us. Madison did the show back around the summer, I believe it was, or even the summer before that. I can't remember when we did a show. She came on and was a guest on the show. Now her dad is. So it's the first time we went from having a kid on here. But that kid's become a mama, and you a grandpa. And hey, tell us about that good news, man. I mean, I know that's dominating your life right now, being a grandpa.
It is awesome. And Morgan is her name, not Morgan. Madison. Madison's my boy.
Madison's your boy. But
I let her know you loved her so much you remembered her name there.
Hey,
but I tell you what.
Hey, I know your name, don't I? Ain't that right? Help me out. Hey, I'm sorry.
I was going to bust him, but I'm glad you did it.
You know what? I'm glad. Hey, look, Jeff, let me just tell you before we come on, okay? I'm just going to tell you this, and you're going to laugh. The opening of the show, you know what me and Arthur was talking about? And we'll get into this today. We was talking about getting in trouble by our wives over little stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I was telling Arthur that, you know, I had heart surgery back in January, and my wife come by to pick my truck up and drop her car off. And right before this interview, she come in here and said, just shaking her head. And what she had done is she had done caught me going down and eating a biscuit and a hash brown and drinking a Dr. Pepper. And I was in all kind of trouble. So I'm still a little bit flustered over that. So Morgan will understand, okay?
I totally, yeah. But Morgan, the baby, Ryman, the baby's name is Ryman. She is 6 months old, yeah. And she is awesome. She travels with us. So Morgan and Landon had a dog they got for their wedding anniversary. It's a golden doodle. So we have a golden doodle on our bus. Sherry has a malty poo on our bus. And our daughter has a green cheek conure bird. And we just like no car going down the road. We have a 6-month-old baby. But it's all good. It's all good.
And just think, I get to go home to an Irish doodle and a malty poo, so you know what my life's all about, too. So, I mean.
Oh, I do. That little malty poo, now he thinks he rules the house over here now.
Yep, mine does, too. He's 14, and he thinks he's 12. He thinks he's 2, and he just runs the show. He really does. And that doodle.
The little Ryman. Go ahead, do what?
Is the doodle dumb? Because our doodle is just, he's like Alf on TV. I mean, just red Irish doodle, just as dumb. And I think he got the doodle, but he didn't get no Irish setter in him because he's just as dumb as can be.
Well, ours is a girl, and it's a golden doodle, so she's got a lot of retriever in her. And she's sweet. She's a good bus dog. I mean, she has her own bunk. She stays in the back. And then when we part, you know, she'll come up and hang with us. And my job every morning is walk the dogs, and it's a fun time, you know.
Arthur, y'all got a bus dog?
No.
I thought you might say Jeff Chapman for a second, but we'll leave that out of it. Anyway, Jeff, tell us what's going on these days with Jeff and Sherry Easter. I mean, man, y'all have had a great career, and you just keep going. You're some of my favorite artists, and tell us what's going on with Jeff and Sherry.
We just love what we do. You know, we've been through some, you know, a lot of deaths lately. You know, Sherry's mom passing away in 2018. My Uncle Ed died last year, and Miggy passing away. But, you know, Sherry and I would come out here on our front porch and just look around and say, you know what, there ain't a whole lot of us left here in Lincoln County. You know, little Roy, Sherry's uncle, still going at it. But as far as our touring schedule, we're so blessed to have, you know, Morgan, my daughter you're talking about, and her husband Landon, our drummer. And then my cousin Jared Easter plays the banjo, the steel guitar, and mandolin and acoustic guitar and sings with us. So we have a fun time traveling with the band. Of course, Arthur, y'all know what it's like traveling with a band. You get to when you get to do a concert, you got your normal set. We do about 40 minutes, and then our whole second half, we let the audience call our set, you know, because if they drove and cared enough to come hear us sing, we let them tell us what they want to hear, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun to be able to do that, too.
You know,
yeah.
Talking about bands, I mean, you guys both are lucky to have bands, and a lot of groups don't have bands. Does having a band in gospel music allow you a little bit more freedom than just singing by tapes and sets and all that kind of good stuff?
It does. I know, Arthur, when you travel Hamill, you never know what's going to pop up. You decide what you're going to do. And Arthur, I know you're like I am. You know, you'll set the mood, a song out. I'll be singing a song and go a separate direction right in the middle of the... Sherry was asking me one day, do you actually think about what's going on, you know, while you're singing? And all of us do, you know. You want to, as an MC, I'm thinking of something funny. I'm thinking of working off the audience. I'm thinking about what song I'm going to do next. And Sherry has always given me that freedom to, you know, do what you want to do. And she knows at any moment, if she got a statement, she wants to say something, she jumps in there and does it, you know. But, it gives a lot of freedom to just call the shots. You know, we do a split track. You know, like when we have a track, it has a rhythm guitar and a fiddle on it, but the rest of the music is live. But then when we do live stuff like Thank You, Lord, you know, we do it all live. Or if we get somebody in the audience come up and sing with us, we'll do it live. And that turns into a lot of fun.
No, the energy level too is a whole lot, you know, to be able to feel the band and especially with the drum, it adds a whole different energy to the, you know, we did a thing here while back the other day just a few weeks ago that we did some tracks with, man, I'm trying, that was the most boring thing.
Yeah. Same here. We're doing the Gaither cruise in July and flying over to, Toronto on the Saturday after the cruise to do that. You've probably done that up there in, it's a camp meeting thing they do up there in Canada. And we've done it several times, but we won't be able to fly the band because, you know, we're flying across. So, yeah, we'll have to do some tracks over there. But it's always fun to get to travel, you know, and play with the band. I got it.
No doubt. Jeff, what's the best part about being on the road? I mean, you know.
Man, I love people. I mean, anybody that knows me, I don't care if you're the CEO or if you're the janitor. You're my buddy, and I find out about people. I talk to them, and, man, when I go in – before a concert, I scope it out, and a lot of times at the table, I'm just meeting people. Arthur, you're probably this way too, and I'm getting most of my material that night from meeting the people that I meet when they come in, and I find out a little bit about them. And there's one guy, and gosh, this has been about 4 years ago. It was a special needs guy. He's over in Texas. His name is Jimmy Selman. Everybody in gospel music loves Jimmy. He's like a Rain Man, like a Forrest Gump. I mean, he knows all kind of stuff. And his main thing is the Macy's Day Parade. And somebody just told me, said, this kid right here, you ask him 1971 who hosted the Macy's Day Parade. Man, he'll spew it out right on the spot. And you go to 85. How about 92? And he has every one of those years and tell you. And so when I got home that night, well, I played off of it, you know, that night at the concert. But when I got home that weekend, Monday morning I woke up, and he had never been to Macy's Day Parade. And this is the Monday before Thanksgiving, before the Macy's Day Parade. So I woke up and the good Lord kindly spoke to me and said, you got enough buddies to get that boy to Macy's Day Parade this week. And I called his caregiver and I said, if I make it happen, would you take him? And they took him up there. And that boy, it changed his life forever, you know, to be sitting there watching the Macy's Day Parade while it's actually happening instead of watching it on TV.
That's awesome.
But that was one of my most fun times, getting to meet with the audience and talking to people. But, yeah, people don't realize when they tell me, man, my wife sings Sherry's song, Praise His Name, you know. So right before we sing it, I'll get them up there, you know, and they'll sing it with her. And it makes their day. They don't have a clue that I'm going to do it. And the ones that get me, Arthur, and I'm sure you go with this too, is the one – I tell you what, I sang pretty good. If you let me get up there and sing with you, I'll tell you what. You're going to be the last person I call.
Exactly.
You know, talking about changing lives, Arthur, I got to tell you this story. And you've never heard this, and I mentioned it to Jeff yesterday when we were talking real quick before we come on today, scheduling everything. Jeff said something to me one time, Arthur, believe it or not, that changed my life, okay? And let me just share this with everybody. And by the way, I was talking about my wife earlier. I love my wife more than I love myself, and she loves me, and we're good. So don't nobody worry about that. We all get in trouble, okay? And I'm glad I got one to get in trouble with, ain't you guys?
That's all, yeah.
Because we all member of the club that we had one at one time that we wasn't glad to get in trouble with. But anyway, so this is the truth. This is the truth, Arthur. So this is back around, Lord, this is 20 years ago, okay? And I was doing some concerts, Arthur, at Milford Church of God, and I brought Jeff and Sherry Easter in to do the concert for me. And I was all down and out, and Jeff could sense, I guess, that I was down and out. And he said, man, what's wrong? And I said, dude, I'm going through a divorce. I'm going through this, that, and another. And Jeff was kind enough that night to tell me his own personal story and how he met Sherry, and he told me if I would just hold on, God had better plans for me. Yeah. And I never have forgot that, Jeff, as long as I live. And I know you don't remember it, but it's things like that that you get to do that people don't see that bless people. You follow what I'm saying?
And I do. And, you know, the worst mistake a lot of Christians make is kicking a brother when they're down.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer in, because I have been there. I got married when I was 18. I was divorced when I was 20. And so from the ages of 20 to 24, I don't remember a lot, because I got a whole lot of, well, Brother Easter, you know, you can never remarry. And as a 20-year-old kid, I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to go to hell, I'm going to enjoy the trip, you know. So from 1980 to 84, I don't remember a whole lot of them years.
Yeah.
But thank God he still had his hand on me. And I met people like Tim Riley that said, you know, Jeff, you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can't go by other people's judgment, other people's beliefs. You got to read the Bible and get your own word. And I remember I got to the point to where in 84, it was June of 84, I just didn't want to live anymore, because I just felt like I would never find anybody. And I went to my dad, and he prayed with me. And after he prayed, he said, now, Jeff, I ain't telling you it's all going to be perfect, but if you put God first, everything else will fall into place. And then it was 2 months later I met Sherry. And in 1984, June, at her lowest point, her dad died of a heart attack.
Yeah.
So when we met, we were both broken. We were both left. You know, I was rejected. You know, my ex won't have nothing to do with me, and I tried to make it work, and I had no control over that. But the rejection of it is what a lot of people get that will bring you to depression, you know, not feeling like you're worthy. You don't feel like you're worth anything. But when I met Sherry, and the funny story back then, Arthur, you remember, I was 84, I was with the Singing Americans. Michael English was the lead singer, and I got a picture of Sherry that night, and me and him shared a room on that old Singing Americans bus, and he looked at me and said, dude, she's way out of your league. And so I saw him at a Gaither taping about 8 years ago. I said, you remember telling me that Sherry's out of my league? He said, yeah, and she still is. So if I always tell folks, if you're having trouble with a marriage, going through a dark time, call my daddy and let him pray for you, because he can hook you up. Daddy can hook you up with a good-looking woman now. I'm very blessed and able to share that in stories.
Well, I appreciate it, and from the bottom of my heart, it's something that I'll never forget. And thank you for giving me those words of encouragement that night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's why it bothers me so bad to hear another Christian or another preacher tear down. I don't care if you don't like this preacher, if you don't like that preacher. You know what? Just pray for them. You ain't got to speak it. Just pray for them and love on them, because they're doing their job the best way they know how. You know?
Right. You know, right. You know.
Here's the cool thing is I remember Jeff those years, and, he was wild. And I seen the change in his life, and I seen how, you know, over the years how the Lord has used him,
That whole year from 80 to 80, you know, I went to go see him 79 or 80, and then I went back with Dad and them, and then the Singing Americans hired me in 84, July of 84, and then that's when I met Sherry. It was August of 84, 2 months after that. Yeah. You know, I see how God had his hand on the whole deal, and I love Kenny Bishop's dad, Kenny and Mark Bishop's dad. Kenneth told me one time, he said, Jeff, God always had a plan for you. You just made a little detour. And that's about the way it is.
You know, I just heard a message from Brother CT talking about how that God has a plan for our failures.
Mm. Yeah.
I always say God gets glory out of every situation. At the end of the day.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's something. Yeah. And here we talk about this, and somebody's going to be listening to this podcast on down the road. It may be at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It may be next week. It may be 2 years from now. That's the great thing about podcasts. But you know what? I believe, guys, I believe we're talking about this because somebody needed to hear it, and it's going to be right on time for their problem. And absolutely. I don't want to sound like Mr. TBN here, by no means, but there's a point for this story for somebody to hear or share. And thank you for sharing it, man. You know what I'm saying? It's an encouragement to me. It's an encouragement to me. Because, you know, we all fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God at the end of the day. Man, we sound so spiritual. We need a church softball team. Then we'll get unspiritual. What do you think?
I hate you. But yeah, that's Arthur, I'll tell you. And you know, the point of it is, again, you know, when, and I know some people try to be your mentor or look out after you, and then they don't realize the things that they can say sometimes to hurt you, you yeah. know. And that's why I like to handle people with kid gloves, you know. Just I got a lot of preacher buddies that's been through some stuff, and man, I'm loving on them quick as I yep. can. Any of my buddies that fall down, I don't care what they do. I'm going to be the first one there to pick them up and love them, you know, because I've been there and done that.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely.
That's cool.
That's exactly what we're supposed to do.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me this, Jeff. When you and Sherry first came along, I mean, Becky Simmons told me this. She said, you know, they came along and they wanted me to represent them, and heck, I didn't know if they were bluegrass. I didn't know if they were country. I didn't know if they were Southern gospel. I mean, you clearly
didn't know where to put them.
You didn't know. Yeah. They didn't know where to put you. And I mean, you were you were cutting your own, for lack of a better word, your own tempo and your own sound and stuff like that.
They're well, bottom line, own genre.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, Norman Holland and Bill Traylor at Riversong in 1986, we did our first album, and they wanted Ricky Skaggs to do it, and the budget wasn't allowed to produce. And then he finally said, Norman called, do you think y'all could do your own records? I'm like, yeah, we know exactly what we want. I think they gave us $17,000 to make a record, and we spent about $12,000 on musicians because we wanted gospel music to have the best sound as equal to anything that was on radio at the time. And that was, back in the day, was a budget that, you know, you didn't give anybody a new artist. And so I remember we wanted to be on Quartet Convention so bad. First year goes by, Becky said, no, they said y'all do it, you're not a trio. And I said, my brother Rabbit sings the third part. Next year, no, they ain't going to do it. After about the third year, Becky calls me. She's jumping up and down. She says, I got you on Quartet Convention on the main stage on Thursday night. She said, now, I know it ain't $300. I said, look, because I done heard you had to pay to get on there. I said, I don't mind paying that. I'll be on there. She said, no, they're going to pay you. She said, I know it ain't $300. I said, yeah, I'll pay that. I get to be on the Quartet Convention stage. That's how green I was. I thought I had to put you in.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. That's
yeah, Becky, and ever since then, we've never apologized. We pray over our, I mean, we've always done a love song on our record, you yeah. know, to encourage married couples. Uh-huh. And some of our biggest following, you know, Mennonite and Amish folks, because they're good old country folk, and they love country music, but they want their gospel. And so, you know, this brand new song I just wrote this past year with Paul Overstreet, I mean, he is one of my all-time favorite songwriters. You know, he wrote Forever and Ever, Amen for Randy Travis, When You Say Nothing at All for Keith yeah. Whitley. And here I'm sitting in his house, Sherry and I, and I'm telling him, I want a song, Paul, that just talks about people like me. You know, I fall down, I get up, and I work on my bus, I get dirt on my grease on my jeans and dirt on my boots. And we came up with a song called Ain't It Good, God Loves People Like Me. And that's all of us. You know, that song hits a chord because everybody's different. You know, it wouldn't be the same if we wasn't different, you know?
No doubt.
Your stuff has always impressed me, but it's shoe leather gospel. I love it.
Well, I appreciate Sherry and I. And the cool thing about Sherry and I, she is more, you know, I'm more of an old Ricky Skaggs, country bluegrass, raised on Ronnie Millsap, Merle Haggard, George Jones. Sherry's more of 70s. You can turn on 70s on 7, and she'll tell you every artist that pops on there, you know. And yeah. that's the style of music she loves. And so we've always, I tell her to do whatever song. Normally she'll do 4 songs, I'll do 4 songs, and then we'll do a couple of duets. And it's worked for us that way, you know. And if it's something that's really cheesy that she don't like, she'll say, hey, you know, I had one song called A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. And I wanted to go, there's a wolf in sheep's clothing, you know. And I said, she wouldn't let me howl. I said, come on, buddy, that'd be cool if I go, there's a wolf. And boy, I'm glad she didn't let me do that. That would have been an egg, Arthur.
You know,
I love it.
Jeff, you know, we see these artists, you know, we see like Rhonda Vincent go from bluegrass into country. Was there ever a thought, okay, was there ever a moment where Sherry thought about doing a country album? Because let me tell you something. If any gospel artist that I've ever seen could have done a country album, Sherry could have done one and done it well. And you'd probably have, and if she'd have ever done it, not only would you have had a house in Lincolnton, but you'd have had a house in Nashville and wherever else you want because she's that good. Was there ever an opportunity?
It was. We, a couple of different situations. One time we went to Nashville, back, we're doing Nashville now, and this management company, you know, they had Reba McEntire back in her heyday, and they were telling us they'd want us to get on board and open for those shows and stuff. And me and Sherry, our whole deal was, you know, we'll sing a love song. We've been doing it for years on our records, but we never want to be labeled as a country artist. We're gospel artists, and that's what we do. But we'll sing at these venues. And I said, the meeting, we said, well, we won't do clubs. We will do churches, you know, or gospel venues on our way to the big venues because, I mean, I'm just imagining if you have a hit and you're in a club. I've been in a club before, and I've seen people, you know, they don't listen to you. They just sitting there, your background noise most of the time. My point is, an author tell you this, when they come to see the Kingdom Mayor, they come to see Jeff and Sherry, they are sitting there full attention on every word that you say. Mm-hmm. And so that the reason that didn't work out, we said we didn't want to be labeled as country, we're going to be a country gospel group. You know, you can use that all you want. And we never did anything else with it. We've been true to who we are, and if it came down to 51% country songs or 51% gospel, we said, you know, we're leaning more toward the gospel. That's, you know, where our hearts are, and that's what we want to do. And bottom line is encouraging people. Some of the biggest songs in country music, like Jesus Take the Wheel and I Drive Your Truck, you know, songs like these are songs that we would record. I mean, the girl that wrote Jesus Take the Wheel, Hillary, she lives 15 miles from us here, you know, so... Wow. We just love great songs, and we've always just been very true to who we are. You know, my old saying, I've always said, be what you is, don't be what you ain't, because if you ain't what you is what you ain't. And I've lived by that motto, because when Jeff lays down at night, he's got to be okay with what he says or what he does, you know.
Yeah.
No doubt. Arthur, what you got?
All right. Hey, I know, I am so proud of how... Morgan has just developed into just an incredible singer.
Yeah.
I mean, she and just talented, my word. And I know you're proud of her.
Oh, we're so proud. She started when she was 14. Charlotte Ritchie was with us for 10 years, and Charlotte was amazing. And, you know, she and Greg wanted to go to Nashville. And when Morgan stepped up a couple of nights, especially we was doing the Gaither tour back then, you know, and sometimes Morgan would back out of the mic and wouldn't get in it. And,
yeah.
And I finally went to her one day. I said, Morgan, I think I've made a mistake. You know, I think we've asked you to come in here too early. I said, why don't we give it a little more time? And she started crying. And she said, Daddy, give me one more chance. I promise. Because what would happen when she would back out of her mic, Charlotte was there, Kim Hopper was there, and they would jump in and jump on her part. And we don't mind that at all. But that takes away from what Morgan can do. And, man, when we put it on her, she has become her own. She don't know she's that good. She don't know she's that good, Arthur. I hear her, and I hear she gets compared to Carrie Underwood a lot. And it is because of her tones, her open tones.
Yeah.
And the girl can sing. You know, she chooses her songs wisely. And, you know, she did her first record when she was 5. She did her second when she was 9. She did one at 17. She's working on one now. So she just always loved to sing. And she has stepped into her own, and I love that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, tell everybody what Madison's doing. You know,
he's in L.A. I just
part.
Yep, he was a big part of what we were doing. But he's, again, one of those kind that he knows what he likes. He don't want to ride on mom and dad's coattail. You know, he loves what he and Shannon do. They have their own music. They have a few songs on YouTube. You can look up Madison, Shannon, Easter. And but he moved to L.A. about 2 years ago now. And he's friends with Sean, I think his name. He's a bass player for John Mayer, and he works in a studio in L.A., and Shannon works out there as well. And so they're out there chasing dreams. That's what I tell folks.
That's awesome.
And he's doing really good as far as that goes, and he's 31 now. It's hard to believe. When we went with our first record, you know, Norman even had a contest for people to guess what Jeff and Sherry's baby was going to be. And now he's out there in L.A. chasing dreams with two little boys named Miles and Rhythm. His youngest baby's named Rhythm.
So. Well, you know, that was a big move for him.
Yeah.
That's a big step for him because, you know, I mean, really, I mean, you know, he could have carried on what you guys are doing and been there the whole, you know, for the rest of his life. And
yeah,
out of something that's comfortable, that's unknown, that's a huge step. And
I remember we were having a church service on a Sunday morning, and the preacher was preaching on stepping out of the boat. And I don't forget who we were, but I remember after the church service, was riding on a country road, and he came up beside me. He said, "You know that message this morning?" He said, "I think it's time for me to step out of the boat." You know,
wow.
So it's been tough for him. I'm telling you, you know, they've left us about 3.5-4 years ago, and he's doing it on his own. You know, as far as
that's awesome.
You know, he'll call me every now and then, and you know, we'll fly him home for Christmas or whatever. But they're really wanting to do it on their own out there, so
that's
they know
awesome.
We're here.
I'm proud of them.
Jeff, how old were you? And I mean. Here's the thing. I mean, you're second generation. Sherry's second generation. Now you got third generation going. You're blessed. But how old were you? I mean, when you listen to the Easter Brothers and your dad sing and, you know, all that kind of stuff, how old were you guys when you picked up your first instruments and started playing? And what kind
my
of
first?
Yeah.
It was a recording. I'd learned to play bass. Not really good, but He's Everything I Need is the name of the album. If you want to go hear some good bass players. A bass player left my dad and him hanging going to make a record. Back in the day, you didn't use studio musicians. Everybody played their own music. And so daddy said, "Can you do this?" And I was like 13. I said, "Yeah, I think I can do it." And so it's on the back of the record, got my picture on bass. I need to go back and listen to that again myself. But that was the first time I did it. And then I thought I could sing, so I learned the old Jerry Goff song, "I'll See You in the Rapture."
Yeah.
And so I learned that song in D, "I'll See You in the Rapture." And I had that thing down. Me and Daddy rehearsed it. And it was homecoming on Sunday at this church. And they called little Jeffrey up to sing, man. And Daddy rang down a G, and I didn't play the guitar. I didn't know what key it was. And I went off, "If we never meet again." And then I got to the chorus, "I'll see you." And it was so bad. And I didn't quit and start over. I said, "I'm going to finish this sucker." And I started crying. I started crying. I went running down the aisle, and I told him, some people thought I was in the spirit. I said, "I was in the spirit, but it wasn't a good spirit." So I went to the bus. I locked myself in the bus, and I never sang really till I married Sherry. And she said, "I got to have somebody to sing with." So I started singing again.
That's hilarious.
But, yeah, that's when I started with Easter Brothers. And let me tell you the funny story now.
Okay.
We did – this is – you got to check out Like Father, Like Son is a CD I did. I wanted to honor my daddy. Daddy's 87. I mean, he's in better shape than I am right now and singing better than ever. But about 7 years ago, we went to Crossroads and did a Father, Like Son CD. And if you ain't heard it, he – it's singing, but I didn't lie to him. I just didn't tell him what key I had him in. He would get there to sing, and I'd have the guys. I said, "Now, Daddy, thank you. This is in G, boys. Don't y'all tell him, but put it in A." And so he didn't have a clue that I recorded his vocals and did everything until he was sitting in his little music store playing along with that. He said, "Look, you told me we did this in G." I said, "I know, but I had to get you back. I got you in A." And so a couple of them, I moved him up to B flat because I know he can still hit them notes. But mentally, if you tell him he's in B flat, he's going to act like he can't hit it, you know?
Yeah.
So I got him back. Right? I'll see you in the Rapture stuff there.
That's funny.
What song do you have to sing every night, Jeff?
Oh, lately, of course, "Thank You, Lord, for Your Blessings on Me" is the one that always, "Roses Are Blooming Again," "Praise His Name," will get. And
let me tell you this. Being an ex-choir director, "Praise His Name" is the best choir song ever.
Yeah.
It really, when you've got a choir, matter of fact, I'll tell you this. And we had the Lewis family at the church. Your mother-in-law was there with them at the time. It was 7, 8 years ago, 10 years ago before they retired. And we did that song, and I told your mother-in-law the same story I told you earlier, and she sat there and cried and told me thank you.
Yeah.
And she told me how much you meant to her. Okay. So anyway, just man, I know I'm getting all, I know I'm getting all gushy. Maybe my wife needs to fuss at me about biscuits more, and I'll get more gushy on this show week after week. But you know,
hey, I've been guilty of being on a diet, sneaking out the Hardee there, getting my ham. I like a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit myself. Knowing it's going to hurt later on in the day, you know.
Yeah, and it happens when you get older. It just happens. Happens when you get older. What's the future hold for Jeff and Sherry Easter?
Man, just the same old thing, more of it. Just having a good time. And we leave out tonight heading to Mississippi. We're doing a thing with Michael English tomorrow and singing at Diane Wilkerson's church Friday, Bill Bailey in Louisiana Saturday, and Sunday we're in Lake Charles, and then we head back home. So we just loving what we do, loving the road, and, you know, just having a good time.
What would Jeff Easter do if he wasn't on the road?
Wheeling and dealing, probably, and I don't really do good at trading cars because I usually don't. I don't want to overcharge somebody, but I like working on cars. Right now, in my shed, I got a 50 by 70 Butler building. I got a 78 Trans Am I got to get done, and I got a 60 model Andy Griffith car. It's a Ford Fairlane, and then I got a 60 model pickup truck that I'm putting a 2015 motor in for my 14-year-old. We're restoring an old truck for her to drive to school. And then I got my 49 Ford truck. I just like old stuff, you know. Got an old silver side bus.
Wow. Is Washington...
I got a good wife, man. My wife, she lets me buy my toys, you know.
Yeah, that's sweet. Has Washington Avenue made it up to Lincolnton yet, or is it stopped there in Evans, or is it going to make it before you kick off this week?
I'm on Washington Highway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's heading on up this way pretty quick.
Yeah, we helped build that Kia store there in Evans, if you know where I'm talking about, and open it up. I guess it was 5-6 years ago now, and I thought about you when we were out there. But anyway, Arthur, what you got before we have to close this out? Because I know Jeff's got to get back to working on them cars, if not working on the bus or doing something.
Jeff, we're just proud of you, buddy. Appreciate you, family.
Well, I'm proud of y'all, and you have fun down there at Disney World, if that's where you are. That's where all them gospel singers go on vacation.
You know, let me ask you this, and you can have some fun with us, Jeff, because we always have fun. How much money a year do you think Kelly Nealon spends at Disney World?
Oh, Lord, and then she'll do it in the name of, well, I got a friend that's got that season pass. Hey, but I will tell you this, you know, my boy moved to L.A.
Yeah.
And they, you know, if you play your cards right, it was for me, Sherry, Morgan, Madison. No, just me, Sherry, Madison, Shannon, the two kids. It was only like seven or eight of us. And they wanted $1,300 and some dollars.
Yeah.
And then I went online and looked around and realizing that you can get they can buy the annual pass at $400 a piece.
Yeah.
Which would be for the four-year-old, imagine it for it. So it was $1,200. And then if they were homeowners or, you know, and they're, what do you call it, season passes or whatever.
Right, right.
They can get three different guests in for $100 a piece. So $1,500. I paid the $1,500, and now they got it for the whole year, you know. So
yep.
The three of them, while we're home, they get to go. So it's on how you play your card right on that.
That's it. That's it. And you know what? I love giving Kelly a hard time. We gave Todd a hard time on the show. So it is what
it is. My steel player is the same way. We were off this past weekend, and he left the minute we got home, and he literally drove back in last night to get ready to go this week. So he's been down there for over a week. I'm good for Disney World one day, and I'm done. I'm ready to go. How many times can you ride Small World? Come on.
That's it. Jeff, we could talk to you all day, man, but we know you're busy. Tell folks where to find you on the internet. Tell folks where to find your schedule and anything Jeff and Sherry Easter has to offer.
JeffandSherryEaster.com. Go to our store, buy our CDs, our soundtracks. We got it all up there for you. And Facebook, Jeff and Sherry Easter. Instagram, you name it, we got it. Twitter, we got it all.
Thank you, my friend. And hey, personally, I want to thank you for the kind words years ago. You never know what they mean to me. All righty, my friend.
Appreciate it. Thank y'all for having me on.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you soon. Jeff Easter on
SGNB.
See you, buddy. Arthur, we can take a break. Come right back. Arthur and me will close it out on SGNB.
If these raindrops are his way of sending love my way, then these showers are welcome. I've seen the sunshine, but I know that the darkness won't last. And if the clouds are the dust from the Father's feet, I'm content till these shadows shadow.
Jeff, a whole lot. And I mean that. And folks, that's probably the first time I've talked to Jeff in 10 years, 12 years.
But I think it's always impressed me about Jeff. He's always been the same from the first moment I met him. We felt like we knew each other forever, and he's always treated me like, you know, that we knew each other forever.
Exactly. Exactly.
They're just salt of the earth folks.
Would you, you know what? I like what he said. And this is what I want to close the show with today, and I think you'll agree with me. No matter where you're at, no matter where your friends are at, no matter where your loved ones are at, no matter where your enemies are at, love them where they are and build them up, because the rest of the world's going to tear them down.
That's right.
And you know what? He built me up one time, and I've never forgot it, and not just because it was Jeff Easter, but because of what the man said and the words he gave. And he said this, I don't know if you notice this. He said, I never try to be hard on somebody. It's easy to be hard on somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's, I don't know, it's in our nature a lot of times to find fault with people and put blame on other people. Most of the time we do that to keep from thinking about the bad that we're doing, you know?
You know, and here's the thing. And I want church folks to hear me when I say this right here. Heck, I'm just going to share this. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I forget when it was, I was at National Religious Broadcasters Convention up in Nashville. I'm not going to mention no names at all in this story. But I'm sitting there, Arthur, and a guy finds out that I'm part of Southern Gospel News Podcast. And he finds out who he says, man, I listen to y'all. You know, you're a blessing, this, that, and another. Then he starts telling me stuff. And yeah, I asked somebody about it and said, what do you think? And they said, well, yeah, that happened. But you know what, Arthur? Even though that stuff happened and that calamity and that sin and all that happened, how did that edify anybody? You follow what I'm saying? We need to build each other up. We live in a world where all we got to do is turn the TV on and we're going to see somebody get tore down. So I like what Jeff said, build each other up. What kind of... write your blessings down, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And speaking of blessings, the blessing box is a-coming, Arthur. We're working on it little by little. And I think people are going to like it. What do you think?
I think so.
If it don't work, it don't work. But, hey, you know what? I think people are going to like the blessing box. Folks need to – if you want to know what the blessing box is, well, it's coming. We're going to let you know what the blessing box is. And once you find out about it, I think you'll want one for yourself. What do you think, Arthur?
I think so.
That's it. Man, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule today to be with me. We'll get out of here. We'll play another from Jeff and Sherry, and we'll get off here. Thank you, buddy. One last question for you, Arthur. What's wrong with living right anyway?
Not a thing.
We'll talk to you soon on SGNP, the audible voice of gospel music.
SGNP is excited you chose to listen today. If you'd kindly leave a remark and rating in the podcast remarks section, we surely would appreciate it. Please share with a friend or family member. Look for us on Facebook, Twitter, and our new website, SouthernGospelNewsPodcast.com. No way.